Thank you, everybody. As we were getting set up, as I was observing church happen before the service actually began today, I saw a lot of love in this group of people, and I just felt it right now. Praise God for that. That's so wonderful. Canaan Mennonite Church is also the first church I've come across so far that has an enormous wall hanging with a verse of the Bible spelled out in the International Phonetic Alphabet, and that has endeared you all to me in a way that you'll never know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, like there's this map hanging down in the basement right beneath us. It's John 3:16 in IPA, Phonetic Alphabet. Do you know how cool that is? Our church doesn't have that. Greetings from Greenwood Church, by the way. We are Quina and Ethan Mast. Quina grew up around here. I didn't. I'm from New York State myself, but I'm now a member of Greenwood Mennonite Church, and so we are from there, just north of here. We are members of Wycliffe Bible Translators, and we're going to tell you a little bit about what that is about and how it has affected us all. I think I've known about Wycliffe Bible Translators my entire life. I grew up hearing all kinds of missionary stories all the time, always really admired the missionaries who were in them, and I've always believed in Bible translation and thought it was a wonderful thing. It just wasn't something that involved me personally, and that was a very good arrangement, a very comfortable one. Wycliffe and I enjoyed a non-relationship for very many years. It was pleasant. This all began to change a few years ago. I was on a reach team. I went to West Africa. I spent a dry season, two dry seasons actually, because I went back the second year as a team leader, two dry seasons in the Gambia, and we did things like community development and friendship evangelism. Quick promo for Reach. If you're considering it, you probably should do it. So here we were trying to do evangelism, and frankly, it was challenging. It's always challenging. One of the big challenges in Gambia was the 95% or so Muslim majority that only wanted to hear so much. And so chances to really speak about our faith were few and far between. So it came as a bit of a surprise to me one morning as my reach team and I were walking home from church, because we went to church across town. So we were walking back, and a young Muslim guy stops us right in the middle of the street and came to me and said, "I want to know what's in the Bible. Could you teach it to me?" Well, I did not know what to say. I'm kidding. I did know what to say. I said, "Yes, yes, yes, we can do that, Abrima." His name was Abrima. He introduced himself to me. So I bought Abrima an English Bible, and I gave it to him, and I would get together at his house once a week, and we would drink wonderful African tea, and sometimes we would have a meal together, and we would read passages of the Gospels together and talk about what they meant, and had a really wonderful time, and a pretty neat friendship really evolved out of that. In fact, he friended me on Facebook earlier this year, and so I'm still keeping in touch with him, even though I haven't seen him in 6 years. Pretty neat. The only problem with the whole scenario was that Ibrima did not understand a word that he read out of the Bible that I gave him. Ibrima is a Mandinka. His first language is Mandinka, not English. Now, there is a New Testament available in Mandinka, but he never learned how to read in his own language. He was educated in English up till 8th grade, so he knew enough English to talk to me conversationally. He knows enough English to use Facebook. Granted, that doesn't take very much, but when he opened his Bible, he just didn't get it. I could watch his eyes just do this really fast. And if I said, "Hey, Brima, what did we just read?" He had absolutely no idea. This was really frustrating to me when opportunities like this came to share the word of God, and then language barriers were getting in the way. And at the same time, as I was in Gambia, in this village with about 6 languages spoken across town, learning to love the diversity of languages that was there, the cultures and the ways of life that were wrapped up in these, and seeing how beautiful that was, but it was hindering people from knowing the scriptures. It's really hard to know and follow God without his word. And it's really a problem when what language you know or don't know determines whether or not you're going to have access to that word. So as I was working through this issue with Abrima, these Wycliffe stories and bits that I'd heard growing up started coming back to me, and it began to make sense. And it didn't happen in the blink of an eye, but it happened in the blink of 2 dry seasons, I guess, that I
understood why Wycliffe Bible Translators exists, why people actually get involved in translation, because once you see it, it really, really matters. And once you try teaching the word or sharing it in any way and language barriers come up, the difficulty is really, really evident. So I made plans to join Wycliffe Bible Translators. It's been quite a few years coming. It was 5 or 6 years ago that began. And we're right on the brink now, Quina and I, and very excited because we can see that God is leading us to contribute something to help make the scriptures available in more languages so that the diversity of languages in the world can help instead of hinder communicating the gospel. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Ethan introduced you to Abrima, and I would like, a man who really struggled with, you know, understanding God's word in his language, I would like to do a language a New Testament and demonstration for you guys to put you in the shoes of Abrima. So I want you to just picture yourself as if English is a minority language. You guys are basically the only people who really speak it well, maybe you and a couple others. So to do this, I'm going to have Ethan read 2 Peter 1:3 in Medinka, the New Testament he referred to earlier. Just remember, this is the main language, and you guys speaking English, very small set of people.
Abrima can't read Mandinka, but I can. This isn't fair.
Alasembe kawako yarango ya fengo bele dinna nsulata meno la baluwa ning ala lakunya ye kaboning na londola ngameng soto ala lakuoto. Atate yen kumandi kana kitalar lalu ita afangula hormoto semboning beta yakono.
For many people in the world, the distance between themselves and God's word is as great as what you just experienced right now. There is just a whole chasm. For other people in the world, their distance isn't quite so far. I'm going to introduce you to Hawaiian Pigeon Dead Jesus book. And this is, you'll understand it, but let's just see how it goes. Is Johnny Mills here by any chance? You tell him he totally lucked out because he volunteered me for something a couple months ago, and I was going to pay him back. All right. This is Hawaiian Pigeon. 2 Peter 1:3. And I'm going to put my little Hawaiian flair on, so. Jesus get power. De kind power only God get. As how he win give us guys everything we need for to live to the max for real kind, the way God like. God do that because us guys know him real good. He the one that when tell us guys, come, be my guys, because he's so awesome and so good. Now, for many people, that's the distance between them and God's word, which you just experienced now. I want to read a quote by a Malaysian man. For those of you that don't know, Ethan and I are going to Malaysia. Can you scoot back a little, baby?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
I just called my husband baby in front of everybody. Okay. Anyway, sorry. This is a quote from a Malaysian man. I want you to picture in your head a rock, one of those fall leaves out there, and a river. When a leaf from a tree by a river drops on the water, it takes a long time for the leaf to sink to the bottom of the river. But when you drop a stone, it goes straight to the bottom. That is how I feel about the Word of God in my own language. When I read it in the national language, though I was educated in that language, it takes a long time before the meaning sinks in. But when I read God's word in my own language, I feel like a stone dropping to the bottom of the riverbed. It goes right in to touch my soul. Everybody, get out your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter 1:3. This is such a treasure. We all have this, pretty much. I hear rustling pages all over the place. What an amazing treasure. All right. Now let's, if you guys are ready, let's all read this together. In whatever version you have, let's just read it out loud and listen to the noise. Ready? One, two, three. As his divine power has given us all good things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Let me read that one more time in our heart language. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue.
That verse that Quina shared has been a very meaningful one to us lately. Brief moment of humanity. We are frequently humbled and convicted with this idea that, oh, we're going to go and change everybody's lives by helping them get the Bible, and then everything's going to just change automatically. And in our own lives, the question is his word actually shaping us? And is his word actually speaking to us? That's hard. That's really hard. This is one that God has, in his grace, really just sent to us. For the last 2 weeks, this verse has been running over and over in our minds. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And that verse describes exactly what we have been experiencing as we have attempted to live out the life that God has called us to. And something that we want to share with you this morning as we talk about ourselves, our role in Wycliffe, God's calling on our lives, is not just to tell you about us because we enjoy hearing about us, but we want to encourage you in this too, because ultimately the calling that you've all received is the very same one that we have. Peter talks about the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The calling there that God gives is to himself. The college is to follow Christ. The call is to godliness. And that's the same for each one of us. Now, what I think is really neat is that as we each pursue that call, our lives take on different shapes and therefore have different needs. And God has all of those covered too. And we can see specific ways in which God has, wow, he gave us everything we need. The scriptures right there, he's given us material provision. He's given us encouragement and he's given us access to him through prayer. The list goes on. It's a lot easier to remember these things in retrospect than it is to apply them in faith today and live in a way believing that God has given us everything we need right now for life, for godliness, and that we know God and we know his calling. I'm hopeful that as we share some of what God in his power has been doing in our lives, what he's been doing through Wycliffe Bible Translators, that will speak to you all in where you are, where your life is right now, and give us all encouragement of in God's power, which is with us.
Well, I am going to tell you a little of how I was called to Wycliffe. 14 years ago, it might not have been quite that long, because I was 14. Yes, it was that long, because I'm 28. When I was 14, I had the great privilege of going with my dad, Mark Yoder Jr., to India for a short missions trip. It was 10 days. While we were there, I walked down these trails to people's villages and prayed in people's homes and basically saw a young church vibrant and growing and active. And I came home and I said, sign me up. I want to be a missionary long term. Well, about six months later, my world completely fell apart. I had a serious, serious mental breakdown and was diagnosed with bipolar. It was a really, really dark time of my life. During that time, I seriously doubted if I would ever be able to attract a mate, much less go into missions long term. My hopes were really just, broken on the floor. And during one very, very dark day of basically no hope, I opened the scriptures and happened on Psalm 40, which in which the psalmist talks about being in this dark, slimy, icky pit that he can't get out of, and God just reaching his hand into that pit, plucking him out, putting him on a rock. What hope that gave me, and even healing. And that wasn't the end of high school, but, you know, high school did end, and I started experiencing a lot more health, and even had the privilege of going to China for 8 months. Once again, it was a really positive experience. I was with Reach, and it was, I got to teach English as a second language, and I loved it. And I came home, and I was like, yay, I can do this again. Sign me up. I want to be an English teacher in China for the rest of my life. Then I met Ethan, which was amazing, and we got married, pretty much the best decision of my life, although I know I have to tack on there becoming a Christian. But really, it was great. Ethan was called to missions, but he was not called to teach English as a second language. He obviously had an anointing for Bible translation. So Wycliffe does not exactly go into all the world to teach English as a second language. And I really had to start, rethinking these things. But as I looked back onto Psalm 40 and what that meant in my life, and truthfully, a whole upbringing full of scripture, I was very excited to make this my own.
So. We would like to help familiarize you all a little bit with our organization. Most of you may have heard the name or be very familiar with Wycliffe. I don't really know where you're at. So we'd like to show a DVD to everybody that Wycliffe put out so we can all sort of get on the same page as to what Wycliffe is about.
To me, it looked like God was coming every Sunday to visit us, dressed in another culture and language. And as soon as he went away, then the rest of the week, we had no God. God was a visitor.
Millions of people around the world live day to day without God's word in their own language, representing over 2,000 living languages still waiting for scripture. When they are fortunate enough to hear the word of God, it's probably on a Sunday, and it's likely to be in a language that isn't their own. This makes comprehension difficult and keeps an understanding of his word at arm's length.
When it came to verses like, "And whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved," coming through to the Lugwere speaking person simply means, "And whoever accepts to be baptized shall be saved." People, all what they wanted was to find a way to get baptized, and they thought, that's all that is needed for being saved.
Oftentimes, the language of wider communication may have a way to say that, but they may not be able to fully grasp the deep meaning of it the way they would in their own language.
Paul was multilingual, so God could have spoken to him in Aramaic, could have spoken to him in Greek. But he spoke to Paul in the language of his boyhood. He spoke to Paul in the accent of his village, because that was the best way of making the nexus of that human divine encounter.
There are around 7,000 languages spoken in the world today. These are not dead languages, but living, breathing languages, spoken in homes in places like Nigeria, Peru, and the U.S. But if the language you think and experience emotion in doesn't have a writing system, then the Bible that you read will ultimately be in someone else's language.
Best thing ever is to be able to read it, and then all of a sudden it touches your heart to the very core. You know, when I opened the Gospel of Mark, it was one of the most incredible things in my life, because I could understand and I could visualize for the very first time the Word of God that was translated in my heart language, as if I was right there in the presence of Jesus Christ as he was teaching his disciples, you know.
I preach more powerfully, vividly in my mother tongue than in any other language.
We live in a dynamic and challenging world, and as Christians, we are called to act boldly in bringing the gospel to the nations. This can bring change to a community and holistically revolutionize their interactions with each other, with the outside world, and with God. It changes the way that their mothers understand prenatal care, giving their babies a better chance of survival. It changes the way they see themselves, creating a desire to preserve their traditions and culture. It changes the local church's perception of God as it brings greater understanding of Scripture. It changes the way that victims of trauma see themselves in relationship to God and their situations. It changes a child's chances of success in school, benefiting the entire community exponentially. We want to see change in the world for the glory of God and for the most overlooked peoples of the world. As it turns out, this change starts in the strangest place. It starts with Bible translation. Translating the gospel for the minority languages of the world means bringing the word in a greater sense than letters on a page. It brings practical change to communities in need and paves the way for others to do the same. Many other organizations are waiting for Wycliffe to start our work in a community so that they can begin their own. Ministry partners like the Jesus Film and Faith Comes by Hearing rely on scripture translation for their productions. Organizations like UNICEF rely on language development in order to effectively communicate important materials to minority language communities. It starts with Bible translation and ends with God being glorified through the hands and feet of His church in practical, tangible ways. The need is great. And so Wycliffe and our partner organizations are aiming to start translation in every language, still needing one by the year 2025.
I think it's an endeavor that more people need to be getting excited about and sharing with one another what this means in terms of the end game. And I think it's also an endeavor that more people need to support in tangible ways other than rhetoric.
We invite you to partner with us in the marvelous work God is doing through Bible translation. We need your prayers, your time, and your financial partnership in our efforts to make the Bible accessible to every remaining language in need. Think of it, pastors all over the world able to confidently preach the gospel in a real and penetrating way. Mothers able to better care for their children. Children having a better chance of continuing their education. People all over the world coming to an understanding of the grace of God. Victims of trauma experiencing emotional healing. Cultures thriving, excited to celebrate their language and history, all from the strangest place, all from Bible translation.
It's kind of funny. In a display table that we set up, back here, we have a representation of all the languages of the world, a little quiz where there's a little bags of M&Ms, and every M&M represents a language in the world. You need to, you know, take the test and figure out if you know how many languages there are in the world and how many have the whole Bible and how many have part of the Bible, how many have none. So I think I just realized that I gave all the answers away in that. So sorry. That just got a lot less exciting. But look at the M&Ms anyway when we're all done. We want to tell you a little bit about our specific plans, as specific as we can get. Wycliffe is a pretty broad organization. It uses people with all kinds of skills. You think especially of the translators. For every translator they have on the field, they have at least two or three support people doing something else, mechanics or IT or development of other kind, that assists the whole process. So our place, Quina mentioned we're going to Malaysia, and because I don't have a map in which to show it to you, visualize Asia, or the last map that you saw of it, and there's a little Florida sticking out of the bottom. That's actually the Malay Peninsula, and the very bottom of that is Malaysia, half of it. The other half is on the island of Borneo, south of Thailand, north of Indonesia, that part of the world, Southeast Asia.
There are about 130 languages spoken in Malaysia, and Wycliffe is still assessing how many of these are going to need translation. Not every language that is Bible-less is going to need a translation, because there are communities where people are truly bilingual, and there are languages that are dying. So we try to figure out where a translation is actually valuable before we do it, because we don't want to spend all the resources on a translation only for it never to get used, because no one speaks the language by the time we finish it. There is a growing trend toward doing multiple translations at the same time. Wycliffe used to send out couples out into the jungle by themselves, and they would show up 30 years later with the New Testament. It's a system that works, but we're finding that the job tends to get better done better and faster, with better results and better received in the community, if mother tongue translators, people who speak the language that we're translating into, are actually the ones heading up the projects and who are doing the bulk of the translation. So what are we there for? Well, to help with getting resources, with training translators. A lot goes into translating the Bible or even the New Testament. It's a big book, and working with languages is tricky. It's not just a piece of cake to translate stuff from one language to another. That might be more apparent to some of you than others, but take my word for it. I haven't even tried yet. So my job within the organization is a translation worker. I get to work with mother tongue translators on their translations and work directly in that translation process using linguistics. Quina has studied just enough linguistics to know that she hates it. And I've seen her weeping over her grammar homework, and it's definitely helped me to understand that God's call on her is not for her to weep every day over the translation she needs to assist. So there's a lot else to do. Almost every language that does not have the Bible is also not written down. And so developing writing systems, promoting literacy is a big thing that Wycliffe does and really appeals to Quina. That's really down the road to discern exactly what her niche is, because Wycliffe understands we have two preschool children, and out of a given day, at least some of our time goes to nurturing and caring for them. And so that's probably going to be Quina's main job when we first get in the country in Malaysia, hopefully next spring, and begin all that. We are so excited by the opportunities that there are in Malaysia to make a difference, to help some of the languages that need it to receive God's word. We're very excited about it now. It's a bit of a process getting to where we are. Quina is actually going to tell you about how we got where we are. Last you heard her say she wanted to go to China. Go ahead and tell them.
Okay. Yeah. Why Malaysia? So Ethan and I are going to Malaysia long term. We don't really have an end date. So the question I've heard is, well, have you ever been to Malaysia? Surely you've been to Malaysia to make that kind of commitment. And no, we haven't really. And so the question is, of course, well, why are you going to Malaysia? About a year and a half ago, the answer was, we are actually really and strongly pursuing China. And in fact, put all the eggs in that basket. We're going to China, wanted to go to China. Took months and months and months for the leadership there to deliberate about it. And the answer came back, No, this isn't really suited for you. Your past with mental illness is too stressful. It's just not for you. Well, this was really hard, and we prayed and asked Wycliffe to maybe give us some countries, you know, surrounding China that might work, and came up with Nepal, Thailand, and Malaysia. Malaysia, we knew absolutely nothing about. Thailand had Tom and Candace. We like Thai food. And then Nepal, we had somebody that we were praying for in Nepal. So Nepal, 1 week later, came back, no, you guys aren't suited for it. It was hard again because, frankly, on a day-to-day basis, I live a really healthy life, and it is just not in my head very often that I have had this history of suffering. And this really put it right there, like, you have limitations. Wow. Anyway, so Thailand, because of the mental stuff, just months and months and months of deliberation, us sitting there saying, we really want to go to Thailand. We don't know anything about Malaysia, but eventually we decided on Malaysia because, well, they wanted us. They really wanted us and thought this could work. As I look back on all those closed doors on our journey to Malaysia, I don't actually resent them, you know. And I don't even view these limitations of mine as having got in the way of what God really, really wanted for our lives. I recently heard a quote from Nancy Lee DeMoss. It goes, "God's will is not so much a place, a job, or even a specific mate." She didn't know Ethan, but anyway. "As it is, a heart and a lifestyle." So this journey of why Malaysia, it's more for me not about a place as much as learning to trust God and learning to just believe that he had the process in his hands. And frankly, on this side of it all, Malaysia is actually my first choice. I really like it. All right. Well, I'd like to switch gears just a little bit and talk about prayer. Let me show you something that's on the table back there. You take a look at. This here, Bibleless People Prayer Project. It's going to come up again. But we are really, really excited about prayer and what it means to us. You know, actually, this is a little personal, but when Ethan and I first got married, we kind of made a commitment or a purpose that we would not go to sleep at night before we prayed together. And this is something that I feel so passionately about that I almost feel awkward in telling you. Like, if you're a couple, please, please, it is not too late to start praying together. When I think of how it has blessed our marriage, I think we're so much closer because of it. And also, I think that we've impacted the world because of the prayers that we pray for missionaries together and also for other things. So this is, that's my plug-in for prayer as couples. But that's not the point of this. The point is my daughter's prayer. Dory Mast. She's 3 years old. And when we were at the Graduate Institute of Applied Linguistics, we were on a shoestring, frankly, but we showed up and God just, in the nick of time, provided this two-seater stroller. It was smelly, it was decrepit, but there it was, two-seater stroller, and it did the job of getting my children around. Well, one day I'm strolling the two of them along and the front right wheel just shears right off. I hit this little, just this tiny little, you know, dip, and it just comes right off. Thank goodness the children didn't pell-mell out onto the sidewalk, but the stroller was done for. For 2 weeks, we just kind of limped along. Like, I would put one of them on my back, and the other would be trucking along beside me, and we'd, you know, take these walks. And one day, I was just kind of fed up, and I said, "Dory, why don't we just pray for a stroller?" And she right away bows her head and she says, "Dear God, stroller, please." And I just kind of, inside I was like, yeah, why did I just build her up to have her come down again? Well, we went, in this walk, we went to this little warehouse on the center that sometimes had some donations come in for missionaries. Opened the door, right there in front, was a two-seater stroller. Absolutely perfect for us. So much better condition than the last one. And I piled my children in that stroller, made sure it was okay for me to take it, and went home again praising God. So,
in these ways, we've seen as we've been preparing in school and other places for our assignment with Wycliffe, God's power giving us everything that we need. We're also really amazed and inspired by what he has done through Wycliffe Bible Translators. What these people are doing and have been doing, what God has been doing through them for the last many years is really incredible. It began about 100 years ago when a man named Cameron Townsend, in Wycliffe we call him Uncle Cam. Uncle Cam took a year off college to go sell Bibles in Guatemala. Well, he had the good sense to get Spanish Bibles because Guatemala is a Spanish-speaking country, right? Well, not in the jungle. Uncle Cam kept going through the jungles of Guatemala and village to village. He kept meeting people who didn't speak Spanish and didn't want to buy his Spanish Bibles. These were all descendants of Mayan Indians, and they spoke a variety of languages completely unrelated to Spanish. But in one language in particular, called Cachical, people were saying, Mr. Townsend, we kind of would like to know what this Bible you're trying to sell says, but we don't speak Spanish. What are we supposed to do? Well, Uncle Cam wanted these people to have the scriptures so badly. He stuck around in Guatemala for longer than a year, as was his original intent. He was in and out of Guatemala for 12 years, during which time he made a little home for himself in a Cachical village. He learned the language, developed a writing system for it, and translated the New Testament in about 12 years, which is pretty incredible in and of itself. It usually takes a little bit longer than that. At least it did before computers. Anyway, during this time, Uncle Cam began thinking of all the other languages in Guatemala and Latin America and the world, and he grossly underestimated how many there were. But he had this sense there's other languages out there where people have absolutely no way to hear God's word. What do you do? And he realized this was a task that was bigger than himself. He prayed a lot. And he began training linguists in the United States to do what he had figured out to do, to learn languages and translate the scriptures into them, and move on into that. And since that time, this became Wycliffe Bible Translators then in the 1940s. In the last 70 years, God has used Wycliffe Bible Translators to translate portions of or the entire scripture into hundreds and hundreds of languages around the world, affecting countless lives. That's really exciting to us.
It's very exciting. I'm going to tell another Uncle Cam story because it is just so cool. He, in 1945, he went on to Peru. Boy, my Bibleless People prayer projects are just falling all over the place. Okay. In 1945, he went to Peru to take this idea further. And he met with the Minister of Education, presented this plan to him, and the Minister of Education was just like, oh my goodness, well, I have a lot of questions before I can give you my blessing, which is what Uncle Cam was there for. And the conversation, I'm just going to do it blow, blah, blow, because it is pretty cool. All right, the Prime Minister of Education, Mr. Townsend, who's going to do all this work? It will be done by trained linguists, young men and women with college degrees who are willing to go and spend their lives in the jungles. This is a difficult task. How many are willing to go? None yet, but when I go back to the U.S. and challenge them, many will volunteer. The jungle is impossible. How will you get these people out to the villages? I'll use airplanes to land on rivers and on airstrips that we make in the jungle. How many planes do you have? None. But when I share the need, God will give us the planes. Who will fly these planes? Hundreds of young people, seasoned pilots, and mechanics will volunteer. How many pilots and mechanics do you have now? None, but God will send them along. There's much disease in the jungle. How will you stay healthy? We will have clinics staffed by doctors and nurses. How many doctors and nurses do you have? None, but God will supply them. And who's going to finance all this? The U.S. government? Some wealthy foundation? No, I'll go home and tell the people of the United States about this plan, and God will supply. And all the workers will raise their own support. Well, the Minister of Education in his head was thinking, what a crazy gringo. But he told Uncle Cam, when this comes to pass, you come back, and then I'll bless you. In a matter of months, Uncle Cam was back in his office, and he had to bless him. Only God can do such a mighty thing. Mm-hmm.
That story is from the 1950s or so and was written down by the Minister of Education himself. It really made an impact on him. Since that time, God has continued to open doors for Bible translation around the world. And the rate at which new Bible translations are happening has also continued to increase. In 1999, someone in Wycliffe decided to do a little bit of math and figure out how long it would take to do all the languages in the world. And they projected that at the rate they were going in 1999, it would take another 150 years even to start every translation. that still needs one. And they said, that's no good. These people have been waiting way too long already to hear God's word in a language that they understand. So they adopted Vision 2025. This is Wycliffe's big thing right now, and it's a really simple vision, and it goes like this. To see a Bible translation begun in every language in the world, still needing one, by the year 2025. Yeah, that's 14 years away, and our current estimate is that we have about 2,000 languages still to go. It's a very big task. It's also one that we think is very important. These 2,000 languages are spoken by about 350 million people. If that's a big number to you, it kind of is to me. Just picture every single person in the United States and Canada. Then add 10 million, and you've got 350 million people without a single verse of scripture in their language and without a translation project so much has begun yet. Now, we have seen since 99 and the adopting of Vision 2025 a dramatic acceleration in Bible translation. Currently, somewhere in the world, a new Bible translation begins about every 5 days, and that's simply unprecedented in human history, and it's very exciting, and only God can do that. There's still a lot of work to be done before we see Vision 2025 accomplished, but we really have seen God in this and believe that he is. And this is very exciting to us because we can see God bring that number of Bible-less people in the world from 350 million to zero, and we could very likely see that happen in our own lifetime. And we're very excited about that.
I'm excited to share with you guys a story that illustrates what these cards are calling you to. How many five-year-olds do we have in the audience? Do we have any five-year-olds? We have one five-year-old right there.
Nice. One over there.
And one over there. Okay. I have a story about a Wycliffe mom and her little boy named Sam. Now, this Wycliffe couple, every Sunday, would pray for a part of the world that didn't have missionaries yet. Well, one day, this rather precocious five-year-old asked his parents, well, do they have any missionaries on Easter Island? I don't know about you, but until I read the story, I didn't even know where Easter Island was, so I looked it up on Wikipedia. It is the most, according to Wikipedia, the most remote inhabited island in the world. It's way, way off the coast of Peru. Well, the Wycliffe parents were like, I don't think so, no. And so this five-year-old boy named Sam started praying every Sunday, started praying. When he would pray, his parents would just kind of, you know how we parents do, we'd be like, yeah, that's really cute, but just smiling at it. Well, one day, this Wycliffe mom got a letter from a director, a Wycliffe director in Peru. This man knew nothing about Sam's prayer, but in it he said, I'm so excited. I am actually sending my first missionary out to Easter Island to work on that language group. Jaws drop. Like, oh, wow. The parents had to apologize to Sam because, you know, they had been snickering under their breath. And when Sam heard it, he started selling stationery and giving part of the proceeds to the missionary. So through that relationship, the missionary wrote to Sam and told him when he had started being interested in being a translator on Easter Island. It was the exact time that Sam started praying.
We also heard a story of a village out up in the mountains somewhere in India, way out there. Evangelists had tried to bring the gospel here, but were not having any success. And then one of the men from this village attended at a nearby village the dedication of the Konda New Testament. Hey, Konda, that's the language they speak up in this village. And a man bought a New Testament, and he brought it back to his village and just began having people over every night to read through it. And in less than 4 months, this village that had been virtually impervious to the gospel saw almost every single person in it decide to follow Christ, and they formed their own church, all on their own. That's what God's word does. It changes people. It changes people in serious ways, and that's why Queen and I are excited to be a part of Wycliffe Bible Translators, to see God's word being heard for the first time in languages that people actually understand is a huge joy to us. We don't do it alone. One of the things that those of you who have mailboxes are going to see, this was Carolyn Biggs' idea. Hey, just stuff one of these guys in everyone's mailbox. So those of you who have mailboxes are going to find a little brochure called Invitation to Partnership. Those of you who don't have mailboxes, I'm sorry, consider church membership. We have a big stack of these, too. We have a big stack of these, feel free to grab one. This is called an invitation to partnership. And this means, hey, Ethan and Quina are going to be in Wycliffe Bible Translators in Malaysia, and we'd like to join them in that endeavor. And there's some ways that you can do it, all right? On the business end of this, several folds inside, there's a couple little boxes you can check and send into Wycliffe. And you have options of committing to pray for us, and we'll update you with prayer requests just to receive our newsletter, which we send out just to keep people on this side of the world informed of what we're doing. You can give financially. As Quina mentioned, back in the 50s, Wycliffe missionaries were raising their own support. That's still happening today. So before Wycliffe releases us to go to Malaysia, we need to see a certain monthly quota that they budget for us met by individuals and churches and the like, people like you, to make that possible. So to bring this back to the scripture we mentioned a long time ago, his divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And we mentioned that the specific ways that God leads us to himself and to follow Christ, they look different for every one of us, and that's a good thing. God is not calling everybody here to join a missionary organization, although he might be some of you, and that's a great thing too. Check out the literature in the back about Wycliffe while you're at it. But you can still, no matter where you are, be a part of Bible translation. In other ways, through prayer, and Quina mentioned the Bible is People's Prayer Project. There's also a bunch of these cards. I highly recommend these to families, couples, Sunday school groups, anybody. Every one of these has the name of a language printed on it. And if you grab one of these and tear off the stub, send it to Wycliffe, you're saying, I will pray for this language until it has the scriptures. And this has been a powerful way, and we've seen a lot of dramatic results of people praying this into existence, especially in parts of the world where it's frankly really hard to go. There was another one. Well, that was pretty much it. Bible is People's Prayer Project, Invitation to Partnership. Great. God has brought us all in such different places. At the end of the day, this is all about following Christ. This is all about knowing him. And we give praise to God this morning for how he has shown himself faithful and giving us everything that we need. We pray that he will give you all too the encouragement and the assurance that he's giving all of you everything that you need to follow his calling also. Thank you very much. Thanks. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.